Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Well, it's David Noble here, live on April 28th, day 99 of the Trump administration, filling in for Aaron here all morning long. Open phones, 406-294-0970, 406-294-0970, whatever you want to talk about. We don't have a whole lot of guests. Hopefully, we got Evelyn Pyburn, hopefully, coming in at 7 o'clock. I do have the Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet. We're going to save those stories for the 7 o'clock hour with Evelyn. I've got a whole bunch of Montana stories, some good, some I'm going to get on a little rant and a rave here about the legislature, some wonderful truth posts from Trump, a bunch of media stuff to make fun of. You know, yesterday I was opened up my weather app, and I, wow, look at the weather. Well, that's weird. That's a hydrological outlook. So I click on that, and wow, lo and behold, the National Weather Service has a alert out here for Montana. Hey, there's a lot of snowpack in the mountains. We're going to be getting some rain. Be very careful out there, folks. The rain may be falling on top of snow in higher elevations, which may increase the rate of melt and may cause some flooding here. And I was like, wow. Because remember, what was that? A couple of years ago, you know, these scientists, Democrats will tell you scientists can tell you everything there is to know, and they're never wrong, and you can't question them even a little bit. But a couple of years ago, they couldn't even tell us when we were going to have flooding. Totally out of the blue, we had massive flooding. And I'm just sitting there thinking to myself, hold on, these are the people that are supposed to be able to tell us what the weather is going to be like 1,000 years from now, 500 years from now. But they couldn't give us 20 minutes of warning that all the snow in the mountains was going to melt when all of this rain fell on it. I mean, we could go on with example after example after example. But apparently, folks, if you're out there, if you've got property or equipment or anything like that in low-lying areas that may be susceptible to flooding, now would be the time to get out there and get that stuff up to higher ground, because it's coming down out there and there's still snow in the mountains. So that's a big deal, something to pay attention to. Wanted to get to that right off the top here. Donald Trump sent out a Truth Social last night about the raid. Aaron Flint was mentioning this on Friday. This is huge news and great news, too. Donald Trump posted, this was over the weekend, a big raid last night on some of the worst, maybe this is actually, this must have been Friday afternoon, a big raid last night on some of the worst people illegally in our country, drug dealers, murderers, other violent criminals of all shapes and sizes, and judges don't want to send them back to where they came from. If we don't win this battle at the Supreme Court, our country, as we know it, is finished. It will be a crime-ridden mess. Make America great again. So there's some more information that came out about that raid, by the way. Apparently, the DEA raided an underground illegal nightclub. Hundreds of people there. Hundreds of people got arrested. But apparently, there's a whole bunch of active duty military service members both there and working there. There was a whole bunch of pink cocaine. Personally, never heard of pink cocaine until this weekend, but apparently there's a bunch of pink cocaine at these illegal underground nightclubs. You know what it reminds me? It reminds me of all the police stations that the CCP is operating here.
It's April 27th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is Tell a Story Day. It celebrates storytelling of all kinds, fact, fiction, a tall tale, or folklore. Today is the day to tell your favorite story. In 1994, South African citizens of all races are allowed to vote in a general election for the first time. The election was held precisely 44 years after apartheid was formalized by the government with the passing of the Group Areas Act. The world's largest commercial jet, the Airbus A380, takes off for the first time in 2005. Also on this day in 1947, Babe Ruth appears for the second to last time inside the stadium nicknamed the House that Ruth Built. The legendary slugger played 22 seasons, smacking a then-record 714 home runs. Born on this day, Samuel Morse, co-inventor of the Morse code and also an American painter. I'm CJ Papa, and that's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
securing America.
U.S. NATO Ambassador Matthew Whitaker spoke about the state of the alliance Sunday following NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte's visit to Washington this past week. Whitaker reiterating President Trump's stance concerning NATO funding while appearing on Fox's Sunday Morning Futures.
I think our European allies and Canada understand that they need to do a lot more.
Whitaker adding where he thinks additional funding should be spent.
That money needs to be dedicated to lethality, warfighting.
He said the reason is simple.
If we have a dangerous world. You mentioned Iran, you know, China. Russia is obviously threatening our European allies especially.
And that our allies understand the most important thing.
The American people are an ally, that we stand for freedom and liberty all over this globe.
NATO's next summit will be held in the Netherlands in June. Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Broadcasting live across the big sky. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
406-294-0970 if you want to be on the show. No plans all hour long, just me monologuing and taking your phone calls. So call in now, 406-294-0970. This big news with Harvard is kind of funny because Harvard has over $50 billion endowment. And they're so mad that they can't get more of you and my tax dollars because Donald Trump said, hey, if you're going to get public funding, if you're going to get taxpayer dollars, then maybe you ought to respect the law. Maybe you ought to respect the Civil Rights Act. Maybe you ought to stop racial discrimination. Maybe you ought to stop pushing racist ideas like DEI and things like that and said, OK, you can either follow the Civil Rights Act. You can either stop being racist. Or you can stop getting federal funding. Which one do you want? They're like, well, we like racism and DEI so much, we'll just get rid of the federal funding. And then we'll sue about it and everything. That's what they tried to do. But this is hilarious because Unleash Prosperity is it Stephen Moore, former Trump economic advisor in the Unleash Prosperity hotline, talks about how Harvard gets over $2 billion of taxpayer dollars and mentions that this is Robin Hood in reverse, tax the poor and give to the rich. He proposes the solution for Harvard is to do what Hillsdale College does, which we all know what Hillsdale College is, a conservative university. They don't take any federal funding. And here's the wonderful thing about not taking any federal funding. When you don't take federal funding, you don't have to listen to the government. This is what's so frustrating about this whole Harvard story, all of these university stories. The Democrats and the media, okay, this is true about multiple stories going on out there right now. Okay, with the university thing, what the Democrats and frankly, not even just the Democrats, anybody that watches mainstream media, anybody that reads the Billings Gazette, anybody that still trusts AP or Reuters, anybody that still trusts and watches NBC or CBS or ABC, any of those, CNN, MS, you name it, they think that Donald Trump is ordering universities what to teach. Unilaterally, a presidential directive to Harvard, you must teach this and you cannot teach that. Folks, that is not what is happening. That is not what is. And then the other thing that they think is happening is that the federal government is just rolling around, just sort of just arresting people and immediately deporting them without having a clue about who they are and where there's no court process. Folks, that is also not happening. That is not happening. When the federal government arrests somebody and deports them, that's because they've already had a court order telling them they got to get the heck out. Period. Let's go to Nancy in Roundup. Nancy, thanks for calling.
Hey, good morning, Montana Talks, Derek. David, great to hear your voice again on the air. You know, there's so much to talk about. I really don't know what to center on, but I just want to talk about these Trump polls. They're telling us that Trump's popularity is down by 8%, and I do not believe this at all. The man has only been in office since January. And, you know, he's dealing with the Biden economy. His fiscal year does not begin until October the 1st. I wish people would realize this and start doing the research before they start bad-mouthing our president. And I tell you something, you know, the tariffs, in our Constitution, it is written in as duties. So tariffs and duties, in my opinion, are much the same. And,
right,
you know,
or imposts. Really, the other word that the Constitution uses for them is imposts.
Yeah. But, you know, I just want to say, too, that give his agenda, his plan a chance. You know, I'm hearing coffee companies complaining already that they get most of their coffee from Latin America, and these other countries have to pay a 10% increase in tariffs. Well, so what? It's going to work out, and it will help us in the end, you know. And he is doing something to really get this China under control. And if you see photos of Xi Jinping lately, he's not looking so good. He's worried because I think he knows that Trump has got him over a barrel, and it's about time because I am, you know, the Chinese are bound and determined to destroy us as a country. So I just wish Americans would just hang in there and just give Trump a chance. Let this work.
Yeah, no, I agree. Well said, Nancy. Thanks so much for the call. And you're right. There's so much out there. But, you know, Nancy, what you just said made me think of something. Because you're right. You know, the polling and the media is obsessed with the polling. And the media spent all weekend long doing all these stories about, oh, well, the Trump approval rating is down and blah, blah, blah. And I watch some of the Sunday shows, so you guys don't have to. And this is kind of what the media does. You know, they'll spend all week long. They'll spend all week long. News report, news flash, tariffs, increased consumer prices. Oh, news flash, we have an expert economist on here to discuss tariffs. Economist, what happened? Tariffs, increased consumer prices. Oh, the next day, another news break, tariffs, increased consumer. And they spend all week long reporting that tariffs increased news prices. And then a couple weeks later, they'll do a poll. They'll poll the American people. Hey, American people, do you guys think that tariffs increased consumer prices? Oh, wow, what do you know? What do you know? A big percentage of them think that now. And then the media then will then bring on somebody from the Trump administration onto the Sunday shows and say, well, sir, you know, the polls show that most Americans think that tariffs increase consumer prices. And it could be any issue. It doesn't have to be that. And then the person's like, well, you just spent the last 2 weeks spending all of your time reporting that. So, of course, that's what the polls show. You know, so it's like a lot of these polls, you know, I think that was one of them that the media was talking about this weekend, you know, hammering Treasury Secretary Bessent about it on the Sunday shows yesterday. That's just one example. They do that stuff all the time. They spend all week long, all month long reporting that the sky is not blue. The sky is actually gray. And then they do a poll about what color this. Oh, wow. Look, most people don't even think it's blue. And it's like, wow, you guys are... The polling is just a test by the media to see how effective their propaganda was.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby, a federal program which pays rent for some 60,000 families and individuals fleeing homelessness or domestic violence could end soon. The program is called Emergency Housing Vouchers. It's running out of money and fast. Funding is expected to be exhausted by the end of the year, according to the Department of Housing and Urban Development. That would leave tens of thousands of people across the country scrambling to pay their rent. There's concern it could turn people who receive benefits from the program to the streets or back into abusive relationships. The future of the program rests with Congress. Lawmakers could decide to add money as it crafts federal spending for the new fiscal year, which begins in the fall. But it's a relatively expensive program at a time when Republicans who control Congress are dead set on cutting federal spending to afford tax cuts. Maxine Waters of California is the top Democrat on the House Financial Services Committee. She is pushing for another $8 billion infusion. But the organization's lobbying Republicans and Democrats on Capitol Hill to re-up the funding is not optimistic. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
Here is a classic example of how some stories, negative stories about President Trump, are just essentially made up. So when the president on Saturday went to Pope Francis's funeral, Vatican protocol mandated that he wear a dark suit and a black button. That's just the way it's done. President wore a blue suit and a blue tie instead. All right, maybe not the best fashion choice. So all you get a few randos on X, and they say this is disgraceful, this is despicable, this is awful. And then when you read down the story, you know, the last paragraph is, well, by the way, President Biden, one of the princes, and others also wore blue. So why didn't the headline say Biden and Trump are disrespectful? With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Ag Report. I'm Russell Nemitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Ag Network. Well, a big issue for the U.S. sheep industry for years has been the commingling of wild and domestic sheep here in the West, and that's why a series of free and public meetings will take place in Montana in May to discuss the wild and domestic sheep commingling project hosted by Montana State University in collaboration with biologists from Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks. MSU Extension sheep specialist Brent Rader says they're seeking input from stakeholders to help produce workable solutions.
This has been an ongoing issue, commingling, not only with disease transmission, but also, you know, bighorn rams breeding our domestic sheep and having losses for producers there for a long, long time.
Andy says that the data collected and feedback from these public meetings will also be very valuable to other Western states.
What the main purpose of this project is to try and identify those management tools that either wildlife biologists or producers can use that aren't going to cost a lot of money. And that way, other states can then take that data that we've generated here in Montana through this research project and apply it to their management plans in their state.
Now, all meetings are free and open to the public, and registration isn't required. Additional support for these meetings is provided by the Montana Wool Growers Association and the Montana Wild Sheep Foundation. For more information, including dates, times, and locations, you can visit us online at westernagnetwork.com. Stay with us. We'll have more ag news right after this. At Current Creek Angus of Roundup, Montana, they raise cattle with instincts to carve out a living in big country. For 25 years, they've offered cattle developed for longevity and usefulness in mind. Join the Eliason family Tuesday, April 29th in Miles City, Montana for their annual sale, offering 50 red and black bulls, 10 pairs, and 10 fancy heifer calves. To view catalog, videos, or bid live, visit FrontierLiveSale.com. Sale time is 1 o'clock. Current Creek Angus, current genetics for current times.
Grounded from Helena is a powerful adjuvant that can take your herbicide application to the next level. It reduces AI loss from UV light and off-target movement while improving deposition and absorption. All to help you unleash precision in every spray application. Spray smarter with Grounded from Helena. Always follow label instructions and check registration before use. Contact your Helena representative to learn more.
Well, according to the Organic Trade Association's annual market report, sales of certified organic products grew 5.2% last year to over $65 billion, or the largest increase since a pandemic-driven spike in 2020. According to AgriPulse, by comparison, total grocery sales increased 2.5% last year. Now, the report released last week forecasts continued growth of over 5% a year through 2029. And finally, this morning, according to the latest National Hemp Report, U.S. industrial hemp production rose sharply last year, with total crop value reaching $445 million. Or a 40% increase over the previous year. Planted acreage expanded to nearly 45,000 acres, or up 65% from 2023. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nemitz.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble here filling in for Aaron Flint. Taking phone calls, apparently getting some reports about some issues in Butte. We're apparently going to be looking into that. Of course, you always can work on the Montana Talks app and listen on the Montana Talks app, which I'm assuming if you're in Butte and you can't hear us on the radio, you're going to check us out on the Montana Talks app. But no, right before we went to that break, I just wanted to finish a thought I was having because there's two big stories out there that are going on. One is the Trump, the media is trying to say Trump is, you know, violating free speech and everything else by going after universities, telling them what they can and cannot teach and pulling funding, etc. Or he's going around just like, you know, just taking people off the streets and deporting them without anything. both of those are just totally false, just completely factually incorrect. And if you don't pay real close attention and constantly search up the truth, you wouldn't have a clue what's going on here. Here's the truth. The reality is that Donald Trump has not told Harvard a dang thing it can or cannot teach. Not one thing. He has said, if you're going to take taxpayer funds, though, we want you to respect the Civil Rights Act. Okay, and then all these deportations and everything else. Frankly, I wish there was the more deportations. I wish we had more mass arrests. But the reality is they're only going after people that have already been through the system that already have final deportation orders out there. We're not going after, they're not going after just regular illegal aliens that have not gone through a process yet. That's just, now, in my opinion, if you do get arrested by ICE and you admit to ICE, like, oh, yeah, I'm here illegally, which I'm assuming most of these people do or would, because what are you going to say? Oh, no, I'm an American citizen. Like, you're going to lose that one eventually when you get your little trial on that issue. I think a lot of them will just admit it. And if they admit it, they can go home right away. That's my opinion. Let's go to line one. We got Steve and Ballantyne. Steve, thanks for calling.
Good morning, David. Okay. That stupid law, I don't know how it ever got passed, that they can allow the motorcycles to go right up through the traffic, you know, right up between cars, you know, or almost hitting the mirrors, to be able to be up at the front of the line. This weekend out on the Heights, you know, I get it. I mean, I know they, a lot of them ride decent and whatever, but there's some individuals holding up signs, and apparently it was a friend or something, someone they knew that got killed on a motorcycle, and they're holding these signs up says, look three times. That's fine. You know, people can sit there and take second looks and stuff, but we're supposed to now, as citizens, supposed to look three times and really take it, you know, for a stupid law that they put into effect where they can ride up between your cars and get to the front of the line. I talked to an officer like a year ago. He just says that's the stupidest law that anyone could ever put together. And I just, you know, I just got problems with now we're supposed to look three times just because, and then the other thing is I watch them go up between the vehicles, get up to traffic light, and the minute the light turns green, I mean, they're on one wheel on the back, just freaking just going to bat out of heck out down the road.
Hey, we got the 6:30. We got the 6:30 news thing. Let me throw you on hold real quick.
Just something, you know, like I like to ride around in the, I'm a person that was raised with no air conditioning, so I always run around with the window down on the vehicle. In the summertime, I love feeling that fresh air. I just think it's the stupidest thing they could have ever done. And now, you know, and then I've seen them people up in signs and they're saying,
But why is it stupid if, because here's the thing, right? If you're a motorcyclist and you're doing that and you're doing it in an unsafe manner, you're going to put yourself at risk. You're going to get injured. And so motorcyclists have a incentive on their own to only do it in a safe manner, to only be very careful when they do it. And why should a motorcyclist have to sit there and wait for cars and wait for traffic when there's a wide open lane right there in the middle of the road they can easily move forward in?
I don't know. I just think that they should sit in line like the rest of us. That's my opinion, David. So,
that's fair enough. I'm playing devil's advocate with you, Steve, just to have a little bit of fun. I do understand your frustration, and this time of year, you know, it is when you start seeing them out there. And I'll tell you this, I mean, especially having handled, so you know, I've seen a lot of bad car accidents in my day, and different lawsuits and things like that. And boy, it's just you can't be too careful out there, whether you're driving, whether you're riding a motorcycle, whether you're riding a bike. You know what I see a lot of here in Billings are people that just totally disregard bicyclists and pedestrians. And we've got crosswalks here in town and people just blow through them. Or if you've got a bicyclist waiting at a crosswalk and the lights are flashing to let the bicyclist or the, you know, I've seen situations on Shiloh where you've got elderly folks in wheelchairs and they've pushed the button to cross Shiloh and you got lights flashing and you got people just flying through those roundabouts 40 miles an hour. And so, you know, I think a lot of this stuff, you know, kind of goes both ways. And all I can say is for everybody out there, drive slow and, you know, it's the same. It's just like, man, I wish everybody could see some of the types of car crashes and vehicle accidents and the injuries and the lifelong injuries that can happen in vehicle accidents and car, you know, motorcycle accidents, and everybody would be going much slower. I can definitely be confident in that. You know, Aaron Flint was talking a lot last week about the governor's ability to veto this just ridiculous, out of control spending that's going on up in Helena. I found this absolutely hysterical. Was Micah Drew put a story out online? Governor flexes a mandatory veto power. And this is what the story's about. The governor did a mandatory veto of a $100 non-resident hunting license fee and changed it to a $50 non-resident hunting license. Wow, he's flexing his power. He's flexing his power, guys. He's flexing his mandatory power. He changed the $100 non-resident license fee to $50 license. Yeah, the governor's really flexing his power.
From Mundakistan to the Flathead, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint here. I've got some stories out of the Montana legislature. I've got some criticism of the Montana legislature. I've got some attaboys for the Montana legislature. Here's a story. Marco Rubio hits back at claims that a minor U.S. citizen was deported without due process. Here's another story that's just totally full of fakeness. Okay, yes, a two-year-old American citizen went back to Mexico with their parents because guess what? The parents were illegal aliens, and the parents got deported. What are the Democrats suggesting? That if we're going to deport, let's say there's a 20-year-old man and a 20-year-old woman. They're both full-blown illegal aliens. They've been fully adjudicated as illegal aliens. They've been ordered to be deported pursuant to court order and process, et cetera, et cetera. Hey, but they got a two-year-old American citizen. What are the Democrats suggesting? Are the Democrats suggesting we do a family separation and we separate that two-year-old from his mom and dad and then send mom and dad back? Do these Democrats not know anything about family and how families work? It's the most ridiculous idea and criticism I've ever heard in my life. No, of course, if you're going to be deporting parents who have a two-year-old that's an American citizen, The policy of the United States is to allow the parents to take their kid with them. That's the humane thing to do. That's the right thing to do. That's the legal thing to do. Well, there wasn't a court order that applied to the two-year-old because there couldn't be because he's an American. No, there wasn't, but there was a court order that applied to the parents, and the two-year-old is there. If the two-year-old's an American and the parents are Mexican and the parents want to take the two-year-old American back to Mexico, they can do that, Democrats. I mean, honestly, it's like they want to do family separations now. It's like all of these stories, the Harvard funding, the deportations, on and on and on. It's all just based on a total misunderstanding of the facts. And so I wanted to get that cleared up here this morning about what is really, really going on. So apparently Donald Trump is gearing up for big, huge 100-day celebration. Apparently today is day 99. Trump is going to be doing a whole bunch of interviews. He did Time Magazine last Friday. He did The Atlantic this morning. He's doing ABC News tomorrow night. And there's a whole bunch of 100-day interviews coming up. That's going to be a good thing to have happen. The masked thief who lifted DHS Secretary Kristi Noem's Gucci purse arrested, second suspect at large. By the way, I am getting so sick of all of the criticism of Kristi Noem. Can I just please remind everybody out there that Kristi Noem, when she was the governor of, I believe it was South Dakota, I think Burgum was North Dakota. Could have those mixed up. But when she was governor, she was the only governor in the entire country to get COVID right. She is the only governor that never did any shutdowns at all. Even Ron DeSantis did, I think, 2 weeks to slow the spread with Trump. Kristi Noem even rejected Donald Trump's original little 2 weeks to slow the spread that turned into years and years and years. And I still see Democrats today still wearing a mask. Taylor Lorenz, the infamous Washington Post reporter, was spotted in an X post this weekend still wearing a mask. But here's the thing. Like, I don't know what the deal is with a lot of people on the right that seem to dislike Kristi Noem, but she is one of the most rock solid conservatives. And then with her purse getting stolen, you know, I saw a lot of criticism about, oh, Kristi Noem had her purse stolen, as if it's somehow her fault, literally blaming the victim of her. So what this story, though, goes on to talk about, and this is a story by Jennifer O'Connell that was posted 2 days ago, must have been posted Saturday. Okay, this is what happened was, is there is there's basically professional thieves and professional criminals in D.C., and the way that they stole her purse from this restaurant is basically like this known modus operandi by these thieves. And so it's like, wow. So here we have the report. They actually arrested the guy. No, it wasn't Kristi Noem being dumb. No, it wasn't Kristi Noem blah, blah, being something that might sound a little bit sexist, which I heard a lot of conservatives criticizing Kristi Noem about. No, it wasn't her being, you know, absent-minded or anything like that. No, this is a known professional criminal organization that has a modus operandi of how to steal purses in D.C. This is a story about Washington, D.C.'s out-of-control crime, not a story about Kristi Noem, who, again, the only governor to get COVID right. The number one issue. That's why it's like anybody that criticizes Kristi Noem, I question their good faith or their intelligence. If they claim to be on the right in any way, shape, or form, or to support the Constitution or freedom in any way, shape, or form. Because if you claim to be on the right, or if you claim to be a conservative, or if you claim to support freedom, or if you claim to support the Constitution, then Kristi Noem, DHS Secretary Kristi Noem, former Governor Kristi Noem, should be your number one favorite government official, period. And there should not be a single criticism coming out of your mouth, because that's how good Kristi Noem was as governor on COVID. And that's how important that COVID issue was. I still think that we need to go back and put in amendments to our Constitution at both the state and the federal level to make sure that never, ever again does anything even remotely close to what happened during COVID ever happen again. And I've been calling for that since probably June 2020, July 2020 is when I first called for an amendment to prohibit shutdowns, to prohibit lockdowns, to take away the power of these public health officials, to prohibit the government from ever shutting down churches or businesses or anything like that. But that never happened. I guess I was the only, am I the only one? Am I the only one that wanted a constitutional amendment to make sure that COVID shutdowns and lockdowns never happened again? Because as we are right now, folks, all it takes is a COVID 2.0 or some other virus, and boom, we're back into government lockdowns and government shutdowns, and you're back to getting arrested, get arrested for trying to go to church, get arrested for trying to go to the beach, get arrested for trying to go take your kids out to swing on the swing set at the park. That's still the America we live in, because nobody else besides me, I guess, was interested in pushing for a constitutional amendment to make sure that stuff never happened again. Anyway, Kristi Noem is the one that got COVID right. Kristi Noem is the one that stood up for things. And it's like, oh, and then you see a lot of these conservatives criticizing Kristi Noem because she had a bad dog that was like biting humans and biting animals, and she lived out on a ranch and she shot the dog. Big deal. Oh, wow. Oh, no, that's so terrible. How terrible for a farmer or a rancher to shoot a dog that's biting animals and biting humans. I mean, there's very few things in this world that will get me frustrated more than Republicans and people on the right trying to criticize Kristi Noem, one of the absolute all-time greats. There's more Trump news, as always. Here's a good one. Actually, I've got some woke updates, but it's from the Montana legislature again. We've got multiple new woke bills going to the governor's desk. Numerous woke bills being passed by the Montana legislature headed to the governor's desk. We'll be talking about some of those. But the Kennedy Center in D.C. cancels Pride Month events, angering the LGBTQQIAAP2S+ cultists, according to Breitbart. This is from the AP. Breitbart ran it, but this is actually an AP story. Organizers in the Kennedy Center canceled a week's worth of events celebrating LGBTQ+ rights for this summer's World Pride Festival in D.C., amid a shift in priorities and the ousting of leadership at the nation's premier cultural institution. Multiple artists and producers involved in the center's Tapestry of Pride. Remember, folks, never forget, pride is literally one of the seven deadly sins. Literally right there in the Bible, directly in the Bible as an outright sin. But here they are just sort of celebrating it, kind of bizarre. But apparently, in the wake of the cancellations, Washington's Capital Pride Alliance has disassociated itself from the Kennedy Center. Even though, dirty little secret, as this article goes on, it mentions that the Kennedy Center is actually still have some like Pride page up on the website. So it's not like they're really like going totally anti-Pride or totally canceling it, but it's just not far enough for the LGBTQ activists. But you know, it's just like, wow. You see stuff like that and you start to really wonder, was Andrew Breitbart, the late Andrew, was he actually right when he said politics is downstream from culture? Because it sure seems a little different now.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
The damage was done under Biden and under Obama and Biden. Trump inherited this mess. It's like he's inheriting the mess in the Middle East on October 7th and inheriting the mess of the Iranians now being filthy rich because Joe Biden turned a blind eye to the sanctions that Trump had in place that were bankrupting them. And as a result, they were able to foment more terror in the region and help plot, plan, and scheme what happened on October 7th, 23, and fund the Houthi rebels and then fire their own ballistic missiles into Israel. That's all. This all lies at the feet of the failure, the mess, the disaster. That was Joe Biden's presidency.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Hey, you exhausted every day. Maybe you have the 3 p.m. crash or struggling with memory issues, having a hard time focusing. You have to stop and pay attention to what I'm about to tell you. I never run out of energy and I'm fully focused. Strong Cell. It's a revolutionary supplement that has truly changed my life. I use it every single day. It gives you natural energy, helps me stay focused all day long, and just makes me feel better overall. Whether you're a working mom or dad or homeschooling your kids or some of our loyal men and women behind the wheel across the country, try Strong Cell. It'll change your life. Linda uses it as well.
I use it every single day. I have my kids using it, my parents using it, my in-laws using it, my friends using it, and I am telling you, it is immediate. It is one of the only ways you can get NADH on the market, and it works.
Go to HannityStrong.com. Use promo code Hannity. You get a special 20% off any order. Once again, HannityStrong.com. And Strong Cell believes in their products so much, you get a 60-day no-risk policy. Invest in your health. I did it. It changed my life.
This is House Call for Health. Only a few days left in this month. Still time to talk about April being Foot Health Awareness Month, highlighting the importance of feet and how they impact our overall health and well-being. The Environmental Health and Safety Services, part of HHS, has a few tips. First, you should examine your feet daily. Look for any changes to appearance, texture, or color, especially those with diabetes or poor circulation. You should also practice good foot hygiene. Wash them every day and dry them, especially between your toes. That will help reduce the risk of infections like athlete's foot. Make sure you're wearing the right shoes with good support and a low heel. As shoes with narrow toes can cause issues like hammer toes or bunions. And lastly, don't be afraid to seek professional help. If you have constant discomfort or pain, head to a podiatrist for a checkup. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House call for health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Time now for a legislative update brought to you by the Montana Family Foundation. Here's President of the Montana Family Foundation and former Speaker Pro Tem, Montana House of Representatives, Jeff Laszlofsky.
As we begin what will likely be the final week of the 2025 legislative session, the end game is becoming more clear, tensions are rising, and surprises abound. Taking center stage is House Bill 2, the state budget. It's the most important bill by far, and its passage signals that a motion to adjourn sine die is imminent. The House and Senate have both debated the bill, and it's now back in the House, where the motion to accept or reject the Senate amendments will occur this afternoon. The House historically rejects the Senate amendments, and a free conference committee is then appointed to iron out the differences in the House and Senate versions. Of course, the House could vote to accept the Senate amendments and skip the free conference committee altogether, in which case the motion to adjourn could come at any moment. It's highly unlikely, but given the bizarre antics that have taken place this session, it's not outside the realm of possibility. Meanwhile, there are other conference committees that we're watching closely. House Bill 682, a law generally revising gender transition treatments, has passed out of a conference committee unanimously and looks likely headed to the governor's desk. This bill increases the statute of limitations for those who regret having undergone gender transition procedures as a minor, and also provides for reciprocal insurance coverage for those who regret their decision and choose to detransition. Detransitioning is somewhat of a misnomer because the original transition procedures often leave the victim sterile, which cannot be corrected. A similar bill, Senate Bill 218, was subject to an amendatory veto by Governor Gianforte, which strengthened the bill after it was gutted by a House amendment. The votes to accept the governor's amendments will take place later today. And finally, in a move worth noting, the Republican Party sent out a call to action on Friday regarding House Bill 818, which bans foreign funding for ballot measures. In a scathing press release, the party called out Senator Wendy McCamey, one of the nine Republicans that the party disowned earlier in the session, for giving the Democrats complete control of the Senate, even though Republicans technically controlled the chamber by a huge majority. In their release, they accused Senator McCamey of working with Democrats to kill House Bill 818 by refusing to schedule the bill for a hearing, hoping to run out the clock with the end of the session just around the corner. Our interest in this bill goes back to last year's battle on CI 128, the constitutional amendment legalizing abortion in Montana. In that effort, Montana and other states were flooded by tens of millions of outside dollars, much of it allegedly foreign, in a successful bid to amend numerous state constitutions. And abortion wasn't the only issue. The effort to install ranked choice voting was also funded by massive out-of-state and, in some cases, foreign money. According to the press release, McCamey was chosen as the chair of the conference committee by Senator Pat Flowers, the Democrat minority leader, which makes sense because Senator McCamey was one of the nine that gave the minority leader veto power over the conference committee appointments. Senator Flowers also chose Senator Josh Kazmaier of Fort Benton, another one of the nine Republicans, to sit on the committee, giving the Democrats complete control over the bill's outcome. And in a final charge, the press release said that Rob Cook, a former legislator who helped spearhead the ranked choice voting effort, asked McCamey to kill the bill. As is often the case in the final days of any session, confusion reigns, and it's hard to tell where the bill is at in the process. As of this writing, there was no conference committee scheduled for 818 on the legislative streaming website. We'll keep you posted on all of these bills as we move toward adjournment sometime later this week. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Jeff Laszlofsky reminding you that this government is your government, and your input does make a difference.
The last 20 seconds, great little update there from the Montana Family Foundation. I've got some of my own legislative updates as well. Hopefully we've got Evelyn Tyburn touching base with us during the next hour here on the talk about some business news. And then we're gonna open it up and unload here during the 7 o'clock hour, folks. You're not gonna want to miss this. Open phones too, 406-294
0970 406 294 0970.
Donald Trump's America.
The president spent the latter half of Monday campaigning in Ohio, but hit on the Supreme Court task ahead before he left Washington. He indicated he wants the process to fill the late Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg's seat to move fast.
I'd much rather have a vote before the election because there's a lot of work to be done, and I'd much rather have it. We have plenty of time to do it.
At his first stop in Vandalia, Ohio, he said the process will start with the announcement on Friday or Saturday.
We're vetting right now. It'll be a brilliant person. It will be a woman.
In the meantime, Democratic nominee Joe Biden, speaking in Wisconsin, focused on what he says is a failed White House response to COVID-19.
He failed to act. He panicked. And America's paid the worst price of any nation in the world.
Nationally, Biden holds a slim lead over the president as the calendar moves under 6 weeks to the election. Grinnell Scott, Fox News.